time now for the Minnesota Hockey Magazine Show. 30 minutes of nothing but hardcore hockey. The Minnesota Hockey Magazine Show is presented by Dave's Sports Shop, Pheasant Hills Golf Course, the Minnesota Wild, and MinnesotaHockeyMagazine.com. And now, with the Minnesota Hockey Magazine Show, here's your host, Pete Wagner.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to this week's edition of the Minnesota Hockey Magazine Radio Show. We have three great guests for you today. We're going to come out of the box with Fox 9's Jim Rich from the sports department. We're going to talk college hockey with him. After that, it'll be Care 11 Sports, Dave Schwartz, as we'll talk NHL hockey, especially the Minnesota Wild. We have a big one with the Carolina Hurricanes coming up tonight at the XL Energy Center. We'll also talk about their home-and-home series with the Chicago Blackhawks. And finally, we'll be joined by Chris McAlpine of the Upper Midwest High School Elite League's Team Northeast. They prepare for their playoffs. We'll talk about that and much more coming up right after this on the Minnesota Hockey Magazine Radio Show.
Hi, I'm Neil Broughton. For all your Minnesota hockey needs, go to MinnesotaHockeyMagazine.com, the best one-stop online source for all your Minnesota hockey coverage and information.
Looking for a free skate sharpening or a free roll of tape? Come into any of the Dave Sports Shop stores and just mention MinnesotaHockeyMagazine.com and get either a free skate sharpening or a free roll of tape on us. Hurry in, as this offer is good for the first 200 customers.
Visit Dave's Sports Shop's three locations in Blaine, Fridley, and Stillwater. Dave's Sports Shop.
There's a drive that time by Brodin. He scores!
Wild fans, it's on. The season is off to a great start, but there's still time to get the games you want against some of the Wild's biggest rivals.
Shot by Scoder. That's a Fridley score!
At Calgary Flames Tuesday night at 7. The first 5,000 fans receive a hat-trick bingo card courtesy of Innovative Office Solutions. Visit wild.com for tickets.
Hi, I'm Neil Broughton here in Hammond, Wisconsin at the Pheasant Hills Golf Club, a favorite local course of mine in western Wisconsin. Located just a short drive from the Twin Cities, for its value and course layout, Pheasant Hills Golf Club is a great place to live. For 2013, enjoy country living on the golf course with large course lots available starting at just $25,000 per lot. For all details on golf course lots, call Ron Bonte at 715-796-2500.
We bring you back into the booth here at the Minnesota Hockey Magazine Radio Show. We're going to get right into college hockey, and joining us on the line will be Jim Rich. Of course, Jim, you work closely with the NCHC. Thanks a lot for taking the time out of your busy days at Winter Park to join us here today.
Oh, no problem. It'd be nice to talk about some winners for a while.
Yeah, no implosions at least, so we can go from there. But obviously, the NCHC college hockey has started this past couple of weeks back in the early part of the month. It's kind of a very quiet start to the season. You know, it seems like college hockey sort of flies under the radar with all the big college football matchups that have been happening. Can you give us a quick update from your perspective of the NCHC and how it is shaping out in its inaugural campaign?
Well, I think they've done a pretty good job in college hockey in general, no matter which league you're in. It starts too early, I believe. When you're starting in the early weeks of October, like you said, people are still into college football. The NFL is just getting started. The weather's still nice, so the games kind of get lost in the shuffle. And with the NCHC, they made a pretty good splash last weekend, starting off with a doubleheader on the CBS Sports Network, where they had North Dakota and Miami in Game 1, and then followed that up with a doubleheader. Game 2 was Minnesota Duluth, Colorado College. So They're doing a pretty nice job with what they have, and the big thing they want to make sure is that they are a national league. They want to be as big as Hockey East, as big as what the Big Ten is portraying itself, and you know, the talent in the league is just as good as anywhere else. Now they have to overcome that perception, And by doing that, they have to do it in non-conference play.
And so far, how have they performed in non-conference play?
They've done all right. The teams have done, pretty well, not blowing people away, but they've certainly been competitive, and, they've knocked off teams that, they should beat. They haven't had a real good shot at a Minnesota yet. The only non-conference for Minnesota has been Bemidji, and then in the tournament they haven't faced any of the NCHC schools. So we'll see if they get a weekend with St. Cloud and the North Star Cup. That's really going to be the first time that those guys lock horns. So there's kind of a separation between the two conferences. I don't know if that's by design or just the way the schedule's worked out, but so far they've kind of stayed away from each other to this point.
Well, I'm seeing that Notre Dame is going to be at UMD, which is always a fun early season matchup. It seems like those two go about this time every year. You see Providence. Yeah, a lot of, I think, high-caliber non-conference foes in the NCHC. For the Big Ten, how do you think the scheduling has gone for those teams as far as getting high-caliber opponents as well?
Well, the Gophers are certainly doing well. They'll have Boston College in here this weekend, and BC really did a number to the Badgers last week out there, putting 16 on the Wisconsin. I can't remember when Wisconsin gave up that many goals, especially since Mike Eaves has come in there, and you know him. He's all defense all the time and is much happier winning a game 1-0 than 6-5. So for his team to get lit up like that really either shows a big problem with the Badgers or BC is really good, and we should have a better answer on that come after this weekend.
And it might be a combo of the two. Hey, it sounds like Grant Bessie had a pretty nice weekend in his early start of his freshman campaign.
Yeah, he's going to be a goal scorer. I mean, we saw that in high school here, and we know what kind of player he is. He's got a nose for the net. We saw that in the state championship game. And so I think he's going to excel at the next level, and I think he can even have a shot at the next level. You know how hard it is to find goal scorers nowadays. And when somebody's got that knack, it usually opens a lot of doors for them.
We're talking college hockey here on the Minnesota Hockey Magazine radio show with Fox 9's Jim Rich. You've covered this game for quite a long time. And, obviously, it does, let's be honest, feel a little bit, different. Like maybe someone forgot to put their deodorant on or something. I can't quite find the right feeling for it. The Big Ten is the Big Ten, and it seems sort of like there's sort of it's out there, and of course you've acknowledged that the NCHC is doing the job they can to keep themselves in the forefront as a high caliber national conference, and the WCHA with their teams are also trying to do the things that they have. But from your perspective, what is the gut feel you have? Is this good or bad for college hockey?
I'm very nervous about what we're seeing transpire here. I'm afraid there's going to be like a Division I and then a Division I AA or AAA. And those schools, especially the ones that were left behind in the WCHA, have a real image to overcome here now, because if they get beat, if they end up, not doing well in non-conference play, it'll go down the line. It'll affect recruiting. It'll affect the crowds at those rinks. When Minnesota and Wisconsin roll into Bemidji or into St. Cloud, they packed a place, and when you don't have those types of teams coming into your building, it's hard to sell enthusiasm in your town. And face it, that's what the beauty of college hockey is, where the little guys had shots at the big guys. That's what was fun, when you'd have those big teams come in there with all the amenities and their special bus and all their equipment, while your guys are just trying to get two sticks taped together that you can use in the game. That was the beauty of it. When Tech would knock off Minnesota, it was great. All the small schools in the outside of the Twin Cities were going like, yeah, that's great to see, And you're not going to have that anymore, and I don't know what's going to play out of it. And the worst thing could be is if these teams in the WCHA, which now has hellacious travel. I mean, you go from Alabama, Huntsville to Fairbanks, Alaska. That's a lot of flying. That's a lot of money involved in transporting those teams. And if they get to a situation where they start cutting scholarships like they do in ECAC and other leagues, then you'll really see a separation between the leagues. So hopefully that doesn't happen. that college hockey in the past always looked out for the little guys. You know, Minnesota over the years always would help the Bemidji's, the Mankato's, schools like that get on their feet, and hopefully Don Lucia and the brain trust at the U of M don't forget about those small guys and try to keep them on the schedule and help them out as much as possible.
I think the bottom line is, you know, it's not football and it's not basketball, not baseball, even volleyball for that matter, where you have teams strewn throughout the nation from coast to coast, north to south. We're talking about six teams here from two divisions, the CCHA and the WCHA, which have kind of left a little bit of a crater between the rest of these teams. And I think what you're talking about is the charm that we had, where a UMD playing against an Ohio State in football just isn't going to happen. But on the hockey scene, that was quite a charming thing.
Absolutely. You know, or Michigan coming in, you know.
Yep.
Stuff like that, where, you know, you don't have any, you know, interaction with schools like that if it's not because of hockey. If you're Bemidji State, how in the world could the Bemidji State football team ever stand a chance against the Michigan Wolverine program? But hockey is a unique sport, and if you get the right set of coaches, right set of recruiters, right set of players, look, you can win a national championship. Look at last year's Frozen Four. It was the who's who of small schools that were there vying for a national championship. That doesn't happen in any other sport at the collegiate level. And if they're not careful, they could kill this off, because college hockey already has a tough time keeping enough schools in Division I so they can have their tournament as big as it is with the 16 teams. If they start losing programs, they're going to lose spots in that NCAA tournament, and the field could be cut back to 12, back to 8, back to 4.
It's early, Jim. Time will tell. We'll be monitoring that throughout the year. Thanks a lot for joining us here today on the Minnesota Hockey Magazine Radio Show. We'll hear from you next week. We'll take a look at what happened last week in college hockey and preview the week ahead. Jim Rich from Fox 9. Coming up next, we'll be talking Wild hockey here on the Minnesota Hockey Magazine Radio Show. It'll be Care 11's Dave Schwartz coming up right after this.
I'm Ann Carroll from MinnesotaHockeyMagazine.com. For all your hockey equipment needs, come here to Dave's Sports Shop in Stillwater. This is Scott with Dave's. And Scott, this place is really all you need to know when it comes to getting outfitted for the hockey season.
Yes, it is, Ann. We start from the Mite hockey player all the way to the girls hockey players, all the way up to the pros.
Wow.
They even bring their skates here for skate sharpening.
So for shin guards to sticks, make sure you stop by Dave's Sports Shop here in Stillwater.
Hi, I'm Neil Broaden here in Hammond, Wisconsin at the Pheasant Hills Golf Club, a favorite local course of mine in western Wisconsin. Located just a short drive from the Twin Cities, for its value and course layout, Pheasant Hills Golf Club is a great place to live. For 2013, enjoy country living on the golf course with large course lots available starting at just $25,000 per lot. For all details on golf course lots, call Ron Bonte at 715-796-2500.
Shot by Snowder. That's a Bentley score. Bonte knocks in the rebound.
Wild fans, it's on. The season is off to a great start, but there's still time to get the games you want against some of the Wild's biggest rivals.
Stig is in all alone, and he's stoned by Harding. Harding got the big right pad on the ice and was able to make the save on Versteeg.
The Wild host the Montreal Canadiens Friday night at 7. Visit wild.com for tickets.
There's a drive that time by Brodady, scores!
We welcome you back to the Minnesota Hockey Magazine Radio Show, and we welcome into the studio Care 11's Dave Schwartz. We're going to talk Minnesota Wild hockey. Dave, thanks a lot for taking the time out to join us on a game day.
Always a pleasure. Thankfully, I'm not playing today, so that's good news.
Do you play
for the Wild.
Quarterback? You
no.
Could if you do.
I might be better than some of the choices we have, but we'll save that for another conversation.
Well, I had to go there. It's the second time I brought it up on the show. The Minnesota Wild now 4-3-3 with 11 points. They're a couple of points out of a playoff spot or a guarantee in what would be the Central Division. However, if they played in the dustiest name of a division called the Metropolitan Division, where did they come up with this thing? I mean,
I don't know. I think we always. I had always hoped that they'd go with like legendary names or division.
How about Norris, Smythe, Patrick, Adams again, please?
Those would have been
love
nice.
That.
I think I would have liked that.
But you had the Whalers t-shirt on last week,
I did.
Which was circa Adams division, and I just bow down to it. That's just phenomenal. That's what I was looking for. But if they were in that Metropolitan division, they'd be standing in second place. So I think the thing for the Minnesota Wild, now that we've seen a little bit of a body of work, there's a couple of trends that have been terrific. And we're going to take a soundbite here from Josh Harding after their big 2-0 win the other night right here at the XL Energy Center. Let's hear what he had to say that against the Predators.
You know, when you can play a lot today, you can get in a little rhythm. But, you know, right now, unfortunately, you're going to hear the same thing over and over from me is, you know, it's all about wins right now. And, you know, we haven't been winning. And, you know, today was a step in the right direction. And, you know, right now we're just going to enjoy it. And then, tomorrow we got to find a way to win on Thursday.
That, of course, was goaltender Josh Harding, who's really been on fire here. How about that stingy under one goals against average save percentage at about .957, Dave? And he's really benefiting from this puck possession style. I think the Wild are a team that many teams would say, hey, you know what? Forget about the goals right now. Three posts in Florida, translate that to a goal here or there, and you know they're looking pretty good. A lot of teams would like to trade places with the way they're playing.
Shots on goal always. Eventually, if you keep winning the shots on goal category, it will lead to victories. And that's the thing to take away here. You keep shooting. They're doubling. They're 2.5 times what their opposition is doing almost every night now. The puck's going to go in. It will. Josh Harding has played fantastic. The defense has played very well. Like you said, they've been controlling the puck, and the shots will fall. When you have guys like Danny Heatley is going to come back around. He will rebound. He is a seasoned veteran. The guy knows how to score. It's going to come back again. Mikko Koivu's done well. Zach Parise's put in numbers. What I like the most is that we're seeing guys who we don't normally see score. It's the second and third line guys, and you know as well as I do, to have a successful playoff run, it's those second and third line guys that are going to do it for you. We saw it with the Blackhawks last year.
It's all about the depth, and I think that's the most critical part. And, of course, you're referring to the Matt Cooks of the world and Justin Fontaine. What a great story that young man is. I don't know if you – did you have much of a chance to cover him when he was with the Bulldogs at Duluth? I did, and he was one of those guys. You look at him, he's kind of diminutive. He's not that big. He's not that wide. But he's around the net, around the puck, seems to find him, buries it, big goals, big times. He did it there. He did it in the AHL. And darn it, he's doing it here.
You know, you don't get style points for goals. I mean, the prettiest goals and the ugliest goals are still goals. And that's what matters. And you know, we bring up guys also like Nino Niederreiter, a guy who was a cast off with the Islanders because he just got in a battle of numbers. He's played well. The knock on him was that he didn't play well away from the puck, but I have seen him play very well away from the puck. He's hustled. He can score, and those are all good things. But yes, I have been impressed with Justin Fontaine. So I actually met him when he was in high school. And I don't think anyone thought he was going to be a real solid NHL prospect. So good for him for proving everyone wrong. And had a nice goal the other night.
He's that kind of guy. And on the Niederreiter situation, you know, he's almost doubled his career point totals. And I believe he had 54 or 55 games with the New York Islanders. And he's already fine. You know, he could be a classic example of a player that needs a new set of scenery. Really tough injury the other night, the broken cheekbone to Jonas Brodin. Boy, he's the kind of guy, even though he has his 3 goals, 3 assists, 6 points in his 10 games, which leads the team and is on tops with, I believe, PK Subban on the defenseman goal scoring category in the NHL. He controls the play. He's patient. He's calm. He plays a European style. So the Minnesota Wild are trying to execute. They're going to miss him if he's gone for a long time. That much I will bank on.
He's 20 now? Is that right?
Looking like he's 30.
He's 20 years old, and playing the kind of hockey that he's playing is absolutely incredible. I mean, if, and again, this is a big if he keeps playing the way he does, and there's nothing to believe that he won't even get better. He's playing with Ryan Suter, who is, in my mind, one of, if not the best defenseman of the game. I still think he should have won best defenseman last year, but I'll go off on that for another time. But he's incredible, and he'll heal from this, and he'll be fine. But to have him in this organization, I mean, we're talking, you will have potentially next year in the, and the years after that, two of the best defensemen in the game on your team.
I remember watching him play, and I was lucky enough to do a lot of video scouting for the Dallas Stars back in the 90s. So you see a lot of what I would say distant shots of the ice where you're able to really watch and whatnot. I remember watching him in an exhibition game last season going, uh-oh, is this guy for real? I mean, it wasn't really a question I needed to ask, but it was like, this is really surreal here, what I'm seeing, and then let's see what he does tomorrow, and then the next day, and the next day, and he did it. And he has just been unflappable. And here's the thing. Even though he's Swedish, and even though Nick Lidstrom was, I'm telling you, this kid is the second coming of him. If he doesn't have Norris trophies in his trophy cabinet when he's 30 years old, mm-hmm. and a few of them, it's because either he got hurt, he quit, or he shut her down.
Or because Ryan Suter wins them. And that's going to be it. That's going to be the battle for the next 5 to 10 years. It's those two guys. And I've heard a lot of people compare him to Nick Lidstrom, which is incredible in the comparison itself. But the amount of poise that he plays with, the amount of calm, cool, and collection that he plays with, you don't have to look very far to see where either he was like that before or got it from with Ryan Suter. But those two guys play exactly almost the same style. They're always in position. They always make the right decisions. And they both have great shots and great timing of those shots.
The Wild have a something's got to give game tonight. They have yet to lose in regulation at home at 3-0-2. Not bad. I mean, even though it feels, when you walk off after a shootout loss or an overtime loss, it feels like a loss, although you get the point. So they've gotten points in every game they've played so far at home. But on the road, Carolina, very solid at 3-1. And you know what? They always bring something special. Eric Staal, obviously, leading the way. They're a nice hockey club. The Wild will have their hands full at the XL Energy Center on Thursday night.
Yeah, I mean, Carolina's good. It's going to be, you're right, it's a something's got to give game. And, you know, we've said it a lot, and I think Mike Yeo will keep preaching. It's just keep doing what you're doing. Keep playing the system. Keep shooting the puck. We're going to get good net minding from the guys back there, whether it's Harding, whether it's Backstrom. The wins will come. You're getting points even in losses, which is, down the stretch. Listen, it's going to be 1, 2, 3 points that's going to separate you when it comes to playoffs. And they're getting those points.
They've only allowed 18 goals against in 10 games. That's 1.80 goals against average. Of those 18 goals, 5 of them, 5-on-5. That's a scary number to the rest of the National Hockey League. There's no way this team is going to have a low-end penalty kill. They're going to get that squared away. It seems to me like they'll be able to put the puck in the net. And you know what? Nobody seemed to really care, me being one of them, as a former season ticket holder, mind you, when Jacques Lemaire's teams were winning the low-scoring battles, I didn't care. The one thing I will say as a viewer of hockey, I thank God every day that the dump and run has been taken away from this franchise. I thank God every day for that, and I think it should be illegal at the high school level. I think it should be illegal at the mite level. I think it is the most caveman style to play the game. And I do believe that every player in this league, in the National Hockey League, has the ability to play the game this way. It's been refreshing to see.
Yeah, I mean, that was Jacques. That was his way. I mean, that was his way of winning with what he had. And this team has more talent. And I mean, obviously, they don't need to do it with
Jacques
this team.
Never even dumped and ran either. You know, they basically
played that trap.
But I would take that over dump and run. I mean, I don't like punting on first down. Right. I don't get it. Why would you give up the puck just to go try to beat a defenseman who's super, super talented? Mm-hmm. Instead, what Jack did is they did an inverted version of it and said, okay, we'll go passive. But when we get the puck, they relied on their defenseman to regroup and handle the puck and get in zone entry. They didn't punt on first down. They may cycle a little bit. They might have to change. Then they'd sit back and say, okay, come back into us. Oh, we'll suck you up here. And we'll
That's why Brent Burns worked so well in that system, because he was the kind of guy that he was going to move that puck for you. And Jacques always believed that puck movement started with the defenseman and went all the way up.
So it's the same thing here. It's just inverted. It's starting from our end wall as opposed to them bringing it to you and turning it over. So anyway, we digress on that. but it's, to me, for the fans that are listening to this and the viewers of the game, I would say calm down on the goal-scoring panic that's going on around here. Mm-hmm. This team is playing very, very good hockey. Every night they've had a chance to win, and the pucks will fall eventually. They will go in the net.
Fans love to see goals. Fans love to see amazing goal-scoring. I mean, they like to see the Steven Stamkoses of the world, who, by the way, was robbed by Josh Harding in a spectacular save last week, which was awesome. But that's what they like to see. Now, what they play here is more of a system hockey where everybody can contribute, and that's what wins. That's what won in Chicago last year. I mean, it's not just one guy, it's a whole bunch of guys, and that's what they do here. And that means sometimes that you're going to grit out a lot of one-goal games. But I believe, and I do, that the pucks will start to go in, and we will see the Wilds start to go on a run here two, three, four wins together in groupings.
And that will be trouble for the Western Conference. A lot of fun to play and a lot of fun to watch. Dave, we're going to pull out. The Upper Midwest High School Elite League is coming up with their playoffs as they come to a conclusion this weekend. Chris McAlpine, coach of Team Northeast, will be joining us.
Awesome.
Thanks a lot for coming.
Thank you.
We'll see you next week.
All right. Sounds good.
Dave Schwartz right here on the Minnesota Hockey Magazine Radio Show. Chris McAlpine on deck. We'll be back with more right after this.
Hi, I'm Neil Broden here in Hammond, Wisconsin at the Pheasant Hills Golf Club, a favorite local course of mine in western Wisconsin. Located just a short drive from the Twin Cities, for its value and course layout, Pheasant Hills Golf Club is a great place to live. For 2013, enjoy country living on the golf course with large course lots available starting at just $25,000 per lot. For all details on golf course lots, call Ron Bonte at 715-796-2500.
There's a drive that time by Brodin. He scores!
Wild fans, it's on. The season is off to a great start, but there's still time to get the games you want against some of the Wild's biggest rivals.
Shot by Stoner. That's in front. They score! Bonte knocks in the rebound.
The Wild host at Calgary Flames Tuesday night at 7. The first 5,000 fans receive a hat-trick bingo card courtesy of Innovative Office Solutions. Visit wild.com for tickets.
Looking for a free skate sharpening or a free roll of tape? Come into any of the Dave's Sports Shop stores and just mention MinnesotaHockeyMagazine.com and get either a free skate sharpening or a free roll of tape on us. Hurry in, as this offer is good for the first 200 customers.
Visit Dave's Sports Shop's three locations in Blaine, Fridley, and Stillwater. Dave's Sports Shop.
Hi, I'm Neil Broden. For all your Minnesota hockey needs, go to MinnesotaHockeyMagazine.com. The best one-stop online source for all your Minnesota hockey coverage and information.
And welcome back to the Minnesota Hockey Magazine Radio Show. We've had Jim Rich from Fox 9 Sports talking college hockey, Dave Schwartz from Care 11 Sports talking Wild hockey, and now we look at the high school game. It's going to be Chris McAlpine, the head coach of Team Northeast, as his team had themselves quite the successful run. They finished in second place in the Upper Midwest High School Elite League this year. Playoffs are set to start. They also had an opportunity to play against Team USA's under-17 team from the National Development Program, and we welcome in Chris McAlpine. Chris, thanks for taking your time out of, again, your busy day.
Yeah, no problem. Glad to be with you.
Your team was quite solid this year. Playoffs are coming up for the Upper Midwest High School Elite League. Why don't we explain to our listeners, it's an 8-team bracket, right? You have six teams from the Upper Midwest High School Elite League, not including Shattuck St. Mary's, and you play it down with eight total teams. Is that correct?
That is correct. They bring in actually a nice addition this year is from the Elite Development League. They put together I guess you could call it an all-star team. So they'll play in the playoff tournament as well. So to round out all the teams so it should be fun. It starts this weekend, actually tomorrow. So it'll be exciting hockey.
It's kind of a sprint from start to finish as everything starts right around Labor Day or the week thereof with your league. Maybe I believe if I recall correctly, training camp occurs over Labor Day weekend. You as a coach get to work with your team and develop and evolve with the top Minnesota high school hockey players. You've got quite the team out of the Northeast. There are guys like Brandon Noderman and Jake Wallen and Lau. Tell us a little bit about the makeup of your squad. It's quite the talent you have out there.
Yeah, I mean, I coach the Northeast team, and, quite honestly, our area has been down a little bit, just the numbers and whatnot at this, programs that have been, pretty successful over the years, such as Roseville, even White Bear. Usually I have about 3 to 4 White Bear kids on the team, and this year we just, we have Jake Wallen. But the one nice addition that we do have this year is the Northeast, we got the Blaine kids, which in past used to go to the Northwest. So we got a line of them, of Tyler Klein, Noderman, and Lau, who have just been awesome from day one for us. And plus Alex Copa and Ian Scheid on the back end. So they've been a real nice addition for our team.
You know, Copa's a quarterback on their football team at Blaine. What type of a leader has he been in the locker room and with this team as a defenseman?
He's been a great leader. He's been come in, from day one and just, been solid. He leads by his play out there on the ice. He's not the flashiest defenseman out there, but he's just so efficient. He makes smart little plays, and he's just been, like I said, solid for us all the way through. And really, the nice thing about our team is, we don't have just a couple of leaders. Everyone's kind of stepped up at different times during the year, and with Alex and, whether it's Dylan Wolf or Scheid or any of these guys, they've all really stepped up.
You had the opportunity to play against the under-17s, and we did the video of that game for you as well. Really a couple of fun games to watch. They played Team Southeast and then your team the second day, Team Northeast. You guys had a battle going until, early midway through the third period when USA kind of pulled away to get the two-goal lead at 5-3. What kind of experience was that for your kids? Was it eye-opening to the point where, geez, you know what? We can play with anybody at this age.
It was great for our kids to play those guys. That team, as you can tell, they're very skilled. It's a big team. I think it's one of the best 17 teams they've had in a long time, at the program. And definitely a very offensive-driven team. And, the one thing that they do, they finish around the net. And it was obviously very noticeable. But, I give our guys a lot of credit. They played hard. They played they were in that game the whole way. I mean, I think we had three, almost four breakaways that we never scored on. So
finishing,
it could make a difference. But the one thing, we had it close, and then, I can't remember who it was, but came down the wing and just, had a rifle right over the shoulder of Driscoll, which was just a great shot. And then all of a sudden it's a two-goal game. So that, there was a little bit of a difference. It was good for our guys to see that, hey, there's, these guys, when they have to, there's another level. And certainly our guys, stepped up to that. But, there's a little difference there.
I would say they looked very polished as hockey players, Team USA did. And, I do think that's one heck of a statement, though. In Minnesota, we have six teams that make the Upper Midwest High School Elite League. And if you were able to put together even the red and white, which we'll get into here in a minute, as far as the playoffs are concerned, I would like to see those teams play against Team USA and see what kind of game we'd have. Something tells me that Team USA has another gear for some reason. I mean, did you see and feel the same thing?
I think so. I think they actually, talking to Donnie Granato, their head coach there, who's a great guy, talking to him, the one compliment that I took from it was he said we didn't realize the level of play we were going to be going against here. And he said it really pushed our guys to the brink. They had to step up. I mean, obviously it's nice for those guys to play, a team, two teams that are more their peer set, than playing in the USHL against 19, 20-year-olds.
And they're doing quite well in that league, aren't they? I mean, last time I saw, they're on the top of the standings.
Well, yeah, and, they beat their 18 team.
Yep.
So it's like I said, it's a real good squad there. It's arguably the best players in the country. That they've got all there at that age level for the 96 level or 97s, I believe. But it was for our guys, it was great. I mean, they played hard. They were in it all the way. And we could make up our best teams, and to play those guys, and that was talked about. And we kind of felt like, hey, I don't think we need to do that, and we'll just go with our teams. And we were fortunate to be one of the teams that was able to play those guys. And I was happy with our showing.
Clearly the right decision was made there. I will finish on this topic. Jeremy Bracco, one of their players, was speaking after the game in one of the post-game comments. He said they were nervous. They didn't know what to expect. They didn't know what was coming at them from the Elite League teams. And frankly, you felt as though the Team USA kids had a level of respect coming into the rink for what was about to happen, what was about to be played. Now, these kids are playing in the USHL. They're beating their 18 team. I just thought to hear that is really a tip of the cap to Minnesota high school hockey right there.
Well, I agree. And I think the one thing, too,
I give those guys a lot of credit. I think there's been a push to try to get those guys in here to play a couple of games, you know, for the last couple of years. And for them to come in here certainly was a big deal. And I think it's a credit to them to come in because really they have nothing to gain. You know, when I look at it, they have nothing to gain to come in here and play. You know, say they come in here and they lose two games. You know, then we kind of get bragging rights because, quite frankly, we're a little bit of a competitor for them because they do, although that team didn't have any Minnesota kids on it. But usually in years past, there's two or three Minnesota kids on those teams and, you know, they have to make the decision to leave high school to go to those teams. So that's where I see, you know, it's a little bit of competition. And, you know, quite frankly, if we were to beat them or they lost to or didn't have a good showing, you know, it might sway another kid to stay.
It was definitely an interesting storyline there for sure. Chris, we're running out of time. Thanks a lot for joining us. His team prepares for their tournament. They'll have the red and white teams that'll play the All-Star teams and the CCM International Invitational. Great stuff going on at the Elite League. The high school season coming up about a month away. And once again, don't forget the Minnesota Wild in action Thursday night against the Carolina Hurricanes. Then it's a home and home with the Chicago Blackhawks. They head to United Center on Saturday, October 26th, and then at home on Monday, the 28th. For Kevin Fallness, our producer, our guests, a great show, Jim Rich, Dave Schwartz, and Chris McAlpine. I'm Pete Wagner. So long, everybody.
This has been the Minnesota Hockey Magazine Show. The Minnesota Hockey Magazine Show has been presented by Dave's Sports Shop, the Pheasant Hills Golf Course, the Minnesota Wild, and MinnesotaHockeyMagazine.com. This has been the Minnesota Hockey Magazine Show.